Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Our daughter, Kelly, is teaching on the broadcast today. And let me tell you something. Of course, we're like other parents and grandparents. I mean, we're thrilled with our children. We're thrilled not only with the fact that they're our children, but I'll tell you, their growth and their spiritual lives are not dependent on us as parents or grandparents. I mean, our grandkids know more about standing and walking in faith than we did when we went in this ministry.
Oh, by far.
Gloria and I do not share this table or this pulpit or this ministry with anybody because they're our children, because of their financial statement, or because we're trying to impress them or you. Nobody comes behind this holy desk unless the Holy Ghost has instructed it to be that way, and unless they have the anointing of God in their lives, and unless they know what they're talking about and they have something to say that our partners need to hear. And this is true with our children, it's true with our grandchildren, it's true with any other ministry. That is our stand on the Word of God. So Kelly's not here because she's our daughter. She's here because she is an anointed woman of God with a specific ministry and calling in her life. And she has something to say that will help you in your life. In Jesus' name.
How do you live to please God? Find out as Kelly Copeland concludes this week's teaching on today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
Have you ever wondered what it was about David that the Lord loved so much? What was it about him that said, "He is a man after my own heart. He perfectly pleases the Lord." You know what? I know that that's in your heart to be that way. You want the Lord to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You want the Lord to say, "I love that guy. He just pleases me so much." And I think that today it'll help us to continue to look at David and look at Jesus. Look at the people who really pleased the Father. Remember, the Lord said about Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So we've been looking this week at how to live your life to please Him. And answering that question about what was it about David that perfectly please the Father. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, we're going to dig deeper into that. I'm Kelly Copeland, and I'm excited to bring this to you because it's changed my life. You know, since I was a little girl, I've always wanted to please the Lord, and yet I didn't always live my life knowing how exactly to do that. And so as He's been opening these things up to me, It goes beyond, yes, you obey. I've always known and known to obey the Lord and known to obey the Scripture and the things He says to you in your heart. And I've known how important it is to even to obey your parents, because the way you learn to obey your parents is the way you learn to obey God. That's crucial. But it goes beyond that to the heart. How do you please the Lord in your heart? How do you please Him with your whole heart? That is it. That is the key, is living to please Him. Not living to obey only, but living to please. Because you know what? It even goes down to be able to ask questions that are not literally answered in the Word of God. You know, the Word of God doesn't tell you move to New York or move to Texas or go to this church or marry this person. The Word of God doesn't explicitly say those things, and yet you want to do what God asks you to do. You want to have the plan that He's laid out for you. How do you do that? You say, "Lord, this seems right to me. Does this please you? Lord, does this please you? Lord, does it please you for me to do this or for me to go there?" You know, the Lord talks about in the Word people who say, "I'm going to go down in ships and I'm going to go sell this and I'm going to go do this and I'm going to do this." He calls that godless thinking. When you just go make your own plan and you do things the way you want to do it without asking Him, "Lord, does this please you?" And we left off yesterday talking about David, and we saw how he didn't go at Goliath in the armor. You know, Saul had done everything in that armor. He had done everything trusting in the armor. And in the beginning, yes, he trusted in the Lord. But the more he did things his own way, the less he was able to trust in the Lord to do to win the battle for him. And when he began to see all of his circumstances and begin to make his decision based on circumstances instead of based on the Word of God, and he began to slip in his doing, in the way he did things. And God said, I've chosen someone else who is after my own heart, somebody that'll do things the way I want him to. And so he chooses this young man, David, who comes and he decides he's going to fight Goliath. Why is he going to fight Goliath? Not because of the great reward, but because this giant is speaking out against the living God. This giant is defying God. So it was in David's heart to take care of this giant. He's not going to let him defy the armies of the Lord anymore. And so Saul tries to give him his armor, and he says, I can't go in this. He says, I can't go in this armor. He says, I'm not used to it. So he picks up his stones. He's going to use his slingshot, and he's got this staff, and he's going to tackle Goliath. You might think, well, you can't tackle Goliath with those few little things. Maybe that's the way you feel about your circumstances. I have this Goliath problem in my life, and I don't have what it takes to tackle this problem. Maybe you think, I'm not strong enough to beat this giant. I don't have enough money to fix this problem. I don't have enough wisdom to take care of this problem. I don't have enough smarts to finish this college course or to tackle this challenge that I've been given. Well, then you need to be like David. I can guarantee you David was not trusting in those five smooth stones. He was not trusting in his slingshot. That was just what he had. And that's what you have to do. Take what you have and give it to the Lord. Take what you do have and say, Lord, I'm going to please you in this. I'm going to obey every word you say. Here's what I have. Now you do something with it. You tell me what to do with these things that I have, and I'll come out on top. That's the way David thought. And so it says down here, he said to Goliath, you come at me with sword and spear and javelin. That's what Goliath was trusting in. He said, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He said, you have messed up. You have defied the name of the Lord. It says, today the Lord will conquer you. David didn't go out there and say, hey, I fought off the lion and the bear. I'm going to beat you. He had said earlier when he was talking to Saul, he said, I fought the lion and the bear, but he gave the glory to God. He said, the Lord will defend me. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from Goliath. So when he talks to Goliath, he says, today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And it says in verse 47, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and the spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. And he ran at him, and he defeated him. He killed him with that stone, and he cut his head off in the name of the Lord. And he fought that battle, yes, with what he had, but he did it in the name of the Lord. And he did it trusting in the Lord. And his heart in that whole thing was to please the Lord. And you know what? I love that about him. I love the way his whole, as he became king, everything that he did. What, think about when he had the chance to destroy Saul. You know, Saul got very jealous and he was determined to go after David, and Saul had a chance. David had a chance to destroy Saul, and he would not do it. He wasn't afraid for his own life. And even if he had been concerned that his life would be over, he would not displease the Lord. He said he would not touch the Lord's anointed. And even though that anointing had lifted off of Saul, that man had once been anointed. And David let his heart for God and his heart to do things for God and do things his way, he let that motivate him. He let it change his direction. He let it make his decisions. And David did the right thing where Saul was concerned. Might not have seemed like the right thing, but he did the right thing because his heart for God was right. His heart to please God was right. And it made him make the right decisions. And so I wanted us to look today just a little bit longer. We're going to talk about David's heart. Because, you know, I will say this. David blew it a lot. He messed up a lot. And you may be thinking, you know what? I've messed up a lot. And when you start talking about living to please him, it becomes less about the actual perfection of how you do things, of what you do, and more about your heart and how you do things. The Lord, someone could be rigidly right in the way they live their life, but if their heart is full of pride and conceit, or if their heart is not doing these things towards the Father cannot work with that. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says you can do all these things right. You can speak with the tongues of men and angels. You can have so much faith to move mountains. But if you don't have love, then you are useless to God. A useless nobody, the Amplified said, when you don't walk in love. God said the most important thing was walking in love. That's big to the heart of God. God is love. And so that's an example of how you can do all the right things, but not have the heart for God, not live to please him. But David, even when he messed up, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't do right. It's really critical that you do right. And if your heart is to please the Lord, you will naturally do right. You'll be better at doing right because your heart is to please him and your heart is to do right. So I want us to read in Psalm 86, because this to me, before we leave talking about David and go on to talk about Jesus some, to me this Psalm 86 expresses his heart. When he's wrong, when he's messed up, when he's in trouble, he calls on God. He's not looking at the arm of the flesh. He's not looking at himself to fix things. His heart is to please the Father. It says, "Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer." You know what? Maybe this is your cry today. Let it be your cry. Let it be your heart today to say these things to the Lord. And as I read this, let them come from your own heart. If things have not been going right, you haven't been doing things right, you haven't been living with the heart of God being your motivator. And that doesn't mean you're not a good churchgoer or whatever. That has nothing to do with your living your life to please the Lord. It does please the Lord for you to go to church, but go to church out of the motivation to please the Lord. You know what? I'm going to stop there for 1 second before I read this. Why do you go to church? Because you're supposed to? Because the Lord says to? Because your mother makes you? Because your wife makes you? For whatever reason you go to church. You know, if you would go to church just because it pleases him, he would use you. You'd get more out of church. You would get, you would receive the fullness of what he has for you that day. You would receive the benefit, the reward of being there. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first doing things his way. Seek first to please him. Go to church just to please him. What does that mean? Well, if you go to church to please him, you just can't roll over in bed and say, oh, I'm going to listen on the internet, or I'm going to not go to church today. You can't do that. If you do things to please him, what will happen is you'll get to church and you'll find that you're bringing the supply of God with you. You're not just relying on the pastor to give you something from the Lord. You're bringing a supply of the Holy Spirit with you. Now, all of a sudden, you're in the position to be a minister of the gospel when you're there to please the Lord, because it's not all about you. You know, when you're there because you want to please the Lord, he will use you and he will change people's lives, not because the pastor's there, but because you're there. And when you go to church with that motivation, not only will you change the church, but God will be able to really change you. The word that the pastor has will seem like it's just the thing to fix the situation in your life. It'll seem like, man, he is reading my mail today. Why? Because the Lord's going to see to it that you receive what you need when you go to please him. And you're there, you're going to minister to people, and you'll change people's lives. It shouldn't just be the pastor ministering. It shouldn't just be the pastor that's there with the answer. You're there. You've got the Spirit of God in you. And if you're a willing servant and a willing vessel, and you're like, Lord, let me please you today. Tell me what to do. He will use you. He's just waiting for people to say that to him. He's waiting for somebody to be faithful to him and to have a heart just like David to please him. So if you haven't been living your life this way, as I read this psalm, I want you to put your heart into it. Go get your Bible and read it with me. Psalm 86. Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me because I need your help. Protect me because I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and I trust you. You are my God. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am calling out on you constantly, calling on you constantly. Give me happiness, O Lord, for I give myself to you. O Lord, you are so ready to give. You are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Right now, I want you to say this with me. Say, Father, forgive me for where I've missed it. Forgive me for doing things my own way. Forgive me for making my own way and doing things my way and not your way. Listen closely to my prayer, O Lord, and hear my urgent cry. I will call on you whenever I'm in trouble, and you will answer me. And yes, he will. Verse 11 says, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart so that I may honor you. With all my heart, I will praise you, O Lord. My God, I will give glory to your name forever, for your love for me is very great. You have rescued me from the depths of death. Insolent people rise up against me. A violent gang is trying to kill me. You mean nothing to them. But you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I don't care what kind of situation you find yourself in today. He has unfailing love. He is faithful to you, and he is just ready and waiting for you to let him in on the situation. You know what? The people that are against you, God may mean nothing to you, and it may seem to you, I don't know how God could turn this around or work with this situation. That's not even any of your business. All you have to do is cry out to God like this. Give him your heart and say, Lord, with my heart, I praise you. I will give glory to your name. Say this with me. Say, grant me purity of heart. Lord, let me see what pleases you. It says, look down and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant. Save me, the son of your servant. Send me a sign of your favor. Then those who hate me will be put to shame. For you, O Lord, help and you comfort me. That was the heart of David. That was what set him apart, was when he needed help, he looked to God. Didn't do things his own way. But when he did do things his own way and he messed it all up, he would repent and say, Lord, you're so faithful. You're so full of compassion. I know I find myself in this mess because of my own choices. But what does he say here? He said, you are slow to get angry. God's not angry with you. You're not in that mess because God's angry with you. But you are in that mess because you won't let him help you out of it. You know what? Jesus pleased God. Peter, we're going to read that 1 Peter. Let's go ahead and read there. I was going to go to Isaiah first, but I want to go to 1 Peter and read that, because this is where we're going to camp out next week, is all in this New Testament. We're going to see how Jesus pleased the Lord. We're going to talk about suffering, but not the kind of suffering that you may, when I say suffering, you may think one thing, but we're going to really find out what the suffering, our suffering is. What kind of suffering are we supposed to do? It's not as bad as you think. It's not bad like it sounds. Really, I'm going to tell you in a nutshell, it's just living to please him. It's just living to please him. That's our suffering. And so next week, we're going to get into all that. But I want to read to you today, 1 Peter 4, verse 1 says, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. And I want us to, next week, arm ourselves with his suffering. And before we go today, I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 50. God is so good to us. I want to read to you, this is a description of Jesus as he was going to the cross. And it says here, arm ourselves with his suffering. So to do that, we're going to have to find out how, what he suffered, because we don't have to suffer what he suffered, but we do need to suffer how he suffered. It says, arm ourselves with his suffering. It says, the sovereign Lord, this is Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom, so that I may know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. First of all, Jesus allowed the Lord, allowed the Father to awaken him up in the morning, allowed him to talk to him, allowed him to open his understanding to his will. Say that out now with me. Say, Father, open up my understanding to your will for my life. You know, in the Word, it's prayed for us that that our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know the hope of his calling. That was a prayer that was prayed for me. It was prayed for you. Agree with that prayer and say that, Lord, open up my understanding to what your will is. Right here it says that morning by morning he was awakened, and that the Lord, the Father, opened his understanding to his will. The sovereign Lord has spoken to me, and I have listened. So when he speaks, you listen. I have not rebelled or turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. That was hard, hard stuff. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. He's already determined that in his heart. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will. Jesus set himself determined to do the will that the Lord had shown him, that the Lord had revealed to him. He said, I'm determined to do it. And I know I will not be put to shame. Look down here in verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you're walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. If you're in darkness today, trust in the Lord. Turn to him. Listen to him. He'll turn the light on. But watch out, you who live in your own light and warm yourself by your own fire. This is the reward that you will receive from me. You will soon fall down in great torment. You're not going to make it if you warm yourself by your own fire and light your way by your own light. You know why? Because you don't know what's out there. And you don't know what's in front of you, but God does. You don't know how important it is that you obey him, but he does. You don't know. And to please him, you've got to obey him. Because when you obey him, he can turn the light on. When you obey him, he can set you on that path of his plan coming to pass. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Get up! Get up! Get up and declare my word, saith the Lord. For your victory is at hand in greater measure than ever before. Not because of greater work and labor on your part, but because of your faith in the blessing, and your inheritance is at hand. Rise up and head through the door. This is the hour of your victory. You will not fail it.
Your door is open. Come out for an intimate time together in God's Word with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's time for the 2007 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join us from the 8th to the 10th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.
Well, today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Every Friday we receive an offering. Today, though, I want you to do it a little differently. I want you to put into practice the things I've been talking to you about this week. And I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what pleases you? Lord, this money that you've given me, I lift it up before you. What pleases you today? What would you like for me to send to Kenneth Copeland Ministries? Ask him that about the money, the offering that you give at church, the offering that you give to the neighbor that he tells you to give to. Find out what pleases him. Find out from him what to do with your money. And then when you do that, the reward and the hundredfold return will be very quick because you've done something that pleases the Lord. Let me pray over your offering. Father, we just thank you today for every penny that people are sowing into this ministry. Lord, I'm asking you to bless them a hundredfold as they give what pleases you, as they give what you're putting in their hearts. Lord, I'm asking you all their other offerings that they're giving to their local church and the offerings, Lord, that they're putting wherever you have told them to place their offerings, Lord. I speak a blessing over that. And I command it to come back a hundredfold return in Jesus' name. And we receive life in our finances today. We receive every bill paid. Lord, we receive the reflection in our finances of your will for us. Your will is that every bill is paid. Your will is that we're debt free. Your will is that we have more than enough. And so we receive that today because it pleases you in Jesus' name. Amen. You have been so faithful to this ministry all through the years, and I want to say thank you from this family. Thank you. We want you to go to church this weekend, but again, don't just go to church like you've gone to church. Go to church to please him. Say, Lord, what do I wear to church today? Lord, what time do you want me to get there? Lord, where do you want me to park? Lord, where do you want me to serve? And you'll come away different and changed. And not only that, but other people that have any contact with you will come away changed. I want to invite you to Eagle Mountain International Church this weekend. If you don't have a church home, Pastor George and Terry Pearsons are awesome pastors, and the word will be good. I can promise you that. I'll be back on the broadcast all next week. We're going to be talking about how Jesus pleased the Father. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
This is the Year of the Open Door, and Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. For more information on this broadcast, today's product offer, or other ministry tools and resources, visit our website at kcm.org. You may also call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. As we celebrate 40 years of ministry, we believe for God's plan in your life and that you will walk through the open door of the blessing this year. Couldn't make it to the Believers Convention this year? Then log on to our free webcast at kcm.org and catch up on what you missed.
The very love that created this universe, that the very love. I have the equipment inside me now since I've been reborn. And now that the teacher and the guide and the leader and the power, the blessing himself, is living on the inside of me, I can love you with the love of God.